Scripture today is from the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 16. Listen carefully, because we're talking about Jesus teaching. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathered around him, and was his custom, he began to teach them. Some Pharisees came to him, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command of you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this. He wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing their little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for of such is the kingdom of God, to such as the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will neither enter it." And he took them up into his arms, and he laid his hands upon them, and he blessed them. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for these words of your Holy Scripture. And we ask that your Spirit work within us and amongst us as we reflect upon these words this morning. Amen. Earlier this week, someone came up to me and said, "So, Pastor, what are you preaching on this week?" And I simply said, "Divorce." And this person said, "Yuck." And that's what I say too, yuck. But then divorce is a great big yuck. Divorces are messy. Divorces are painful. And maybe there was a time when divorce was infrequent, but now it's hard to find someone who hasn't been touched by divorce. I would guess that everyone in this worship service today has been touched by divorce in one way or another. It might have been our parents, might have been our brother or our sister. Maybe our friends have gotten divorced, or our neighbors. Maybe our children have gone through divorce. It may have even been one of us who have gone through the unfortunate and unpleasant experience of divorce. Now, to say that divorce is unpleasant is often an understatement. Sure, there are those who manage to have what is often termed an amiable divorce. But I would guess that even these people would say that the divorce itself was unpleasant and something they would not want to go through again. And then there are those divorces that are anything but amiable. And these divorces are not just unpleasant, they're downright painful, both physically and spiritually, not only for the two getting divorced, but for all those connected with them, children, parents, siblings, neighbors, friends, work colleagues, they're all affected by divorce. And it doesn't help when we read passages in the Bible like this one that was read today, where Jesus connects divorce with adultery. As Lutheran pastor Daniel Sorensen wrote, here we are in a place that is supposed to provide us with solace, a place where we have a relationship with a loving God, yet Jesus is telling us that our actions violate one of the Ten Commandments. And so I've been spending the week reading this scripture and reflecting upon it, and I wondered, is that how Jesus is saying it? Or is that how we are hearing it? For sometimes we need to dig into the scriptures to make sure that we are hearing exactly what Jesus is saying. Our passage this morning begins with the Pharisees coming to Jesus with a question. A question they know doesn't have a good answer. And this was a common tactic for the Pharisees. Think about when Jesus was asked whether or not the Jews should pay taxes to the Romans. And so here again, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus into making an answer that will upset some or even all of his followers. And they are doing this because Jesus has become well known enough to become a threat to their position within their culture. In this case, it might be good to remember that earlier in the gospel, Mark tells us that John the Baptist was executed by King Herod because he dared to challenge the king's divorce. The Pharisees know that Jesus' answer will either upset the crowds or upset the king. In either way, it is a win for them. So they come to Jesus, and they ask him about divorce. And Jesus does what he often does. He returns a question with a question, and he says, what did Moses say? Which was his way of saying, what does it say in the law of Moses, which is found in the first five books of the Old Testament? And the Pharisees, who know this law backwards and forwards, know what Moses said, and they know that Moses allowed divorce. The law allowed for men to divorce their wives. Jesus knew this, so he responded by saying that while Moses allowed it, God never intended it to be the standard for relationships. The standard for relationship, Jesus tells the Pharisees, is found in the creation story in Genesis, that the two should become one flesh, and that what God has joined together, no one should put asunder. Jesus tells us that marriage is a lifelong partnership, and that this is the ideal. Unless it is an arranged marriage, most weddings do not happen without at least a little bit of falling in love, maybe a lot. There is the meeting and the dating and then the courting that all happen along the way. And then there is that wonderful feeling of falling in love. And all this is good. This is how God made things to be. And when you think about it, this is true of our friendships as well, or our work relationships, or our relationships with other family members. We care about the other person, the work team, our extended family so much that we are committed to them and to what we have in common. We may not fall in love with our work team, but in all these relationships, we are bound to each other. And that connection has a positive effect on us. And this is how the world should be, Jesus tells us. This is how the world should be. But then there is the human reality, isn't there? We live in a world that is plagued by sin and greed and power and violence and spite and jealousy and ambition and cruelty, and they all enter our daily lives, and they often enter our relationships as well. Sin affects not only our marriages, but our friendships and our professional lives as well. This was the world that Jesus and Moses were addressing. The world as it should be up against the world as it is. In the world as it should be, there would only be perfect marriages, no divorce, perfect relationship. All friendships would be deep and everlasting. All work teams would be collegial and productive. But in the world as it is, the world in which we actually live, there is no such thing as that perfect relationship. Jesus was fully aware that in those days, the privilege of divorce, like so many other privileges, was being abused. What was once limited to an understanding of what was acceptable grounds for divorce had become broader and, in reality, more frivolous. Once adultery was the only grounds for divorce, but by Jesus' day, there were those who asked for a divorce for almost any reason. One commentator said it was like if the wife burned the toast, you could divorce her. There's even an ancient writing where one rabbi who said that divorce was permissible if the husband found a prettier woman to marry. And so this was the milieu in which Jesus was talking about. And add that to the imbalance of divorce in Jesus' time. It was a patriarchal society where men had the economic power and women didn't. Men could survive divorce. For women, it was a much riskier proposition. And so it is against this human reality that Jesus held up the standard of marriage as God's intended. Just as we should never enter into marriage for frivolous reasons, nor shall we try to get out of a marriage for frivolous reasons. Jesus then speaks of divorce and remarriage as adultery, a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, and another reminder that divorce, that the divine understanding of marriage is different than the human reality of marriage. You will note in his comments, though, about adultery, that he puts men and women on equal footing. They both can commit adultery. And so we are in a hard place, facing an ideal that is challenging, if not impossible, to live up to. But then isn't that the challenge of all aspects of a faithful life? We know, we are told, we should pray unceasingly in the Bible, but we don't. And yet we try. We are directed to give all that we have to the poor by Jesus, but we won't. And yet we keep on giving. We are told that to love even our enemies, and yet we can't. And yet we keep on practicing love to the best of our ability. We are told that we need to live in the covenant of marriage for a lifetime, and we find that hard to do, and yet we keep on trying. And if you read ahead in this very chapter of Mark, you'll find out that Mark says what is impossible for us is possible for God. We make our commitment to marriage or any other relationship and we strive to uphold it. It is hard work. It is time consuming. It is emotionally draining. It requires patience and honesty and confession and forgiveness. And yes, more hard work. But it is also sacred work. It is work that pays off in a deeper, more satisfying relationship with the one you're married to, the relationship you're trying to hold together, the friendship that you value, and with our God. Yes, divorce is permitted, but it is not the standard. The standard is for us to do all that we can to honor the covenant of marriage and value its sacredness. But what about those marriages that do end in divorce? What about those couples that try as hard as they possibly can, but the difficulties are too hard to overcome? What about those marriages that are violated by infidelity? What about those marriages that are filled with physical or mental abuse? And divorce is literally a life-saving way out. What about the reality of human sin that we all live in? Does Jesus still love the divorcee as much as the married person? Can the divorced find acceptance in Christ's church? These are the questions we find ourselves asking, and perhaps the next few verses in this passage can help us out this morning. For you see, in verse 13, right after Jesus talks about marriage and divorce and adultery, in verse 13, Mark tells us that people were bringing children to see Jesus, to be touched by him. But these children are prevented from getting close to Jesus by the adults who have ideas about where children should be and what is right and what is wrong and what is proper and what is not and what is legal and what is illegal. And adults can really get in the way, can't they? Adults' minds are full of judgments of what is right and what is wrong, what is permissible and what is not. And then there is Jesus, who chastises those who stand between him and the children. Jesus wants the children to come to him. He puts them on his lap and he blesses them. And all this happens right after his teaching on divorce. We are the children of divorce. Some of us are literal children of divorce. Our parents are divorced and we had to live through that. Some of us went through our own divorces, and like the children in the story, we are desperate to sit on Jesus' lap and be blessed by him. Some of us have witnessed and even experienced the pain of divorce within our families and among our friends, and we too wonder, where is Jesus in all this pain? And Mark tells us, here is Jesus telling us that we are all his children, and we should not let others keep us from approaching him. And when we do come to Jesus with the pain of divorce and all the other pains of broken relationships in our lives, he welcomes us and places us on his lap, and he blesses us. And when I think about that, I realize that is the place I want to be. Amen.